Hey, everyone.
Welcome back to Homeschool, the podcast where Andrew Rivers and I do 10 minutes of jokes while a guest heckles us. And then we talk about comedy, current events, and our social lives. So just comedy and current events. This week, we welcome Mike Maslotti, who travels internationally doing stand-up and just recorded a dry bar comedy special that will be released in early 2021, which is exciting. We can attest that that is a good thing for your career and for internet fodder and trolls. Also been working super hard during quarantine, opening up Third Wheel Podcast Studio in Seattle. Say hey, Mike.
What's up, everybody?
All right, glad to have you. Before we get started, we do want to let folks know we're going to be performing live in the upcoming months. Andrew, what do you got? Anything?
February 11th through 14th at Bricktown Comedy Club, Oklahoma City. Hopefully adding something in Louisville, Kentucky, and maybe something in Colorado. Those are some vague messages, but I'm going to will it into existence. Like those hot girls say it works. You got to think, you just got to imagine it. It's on my vision board. We're going to make it work.
You're kind of a sad act for Valentine's Day now. Is that a...
yeah. Hey, kids are dead. Isn't that fun?
I'm gonna get her back with these jokes.
Hey.
All right. I'm gonna be at Stir Crazy Comedy Club in Glendale, Arizona, February 5th through 6th with Dwayne the Rock Perkins and I don't even know if that's...
I was like, wow, things are... If Dwayne The Rock Johnson is doing comedy clubs, you know...
We're in real trouble.
We're in real trouble. I know nobody could outsell that guy.
February 24th through 27th at the Looney Bin in Tulsa, Oklahoma. But when The Rock got killed, by the way, I was like, oh, we're going to have a cure in a week and a half. Like, nobody wants this. And maybe if they let me cross the border or there isn't a wall built before then, I'll be in Calgary, Canada, the Comedy Cave, April 6th through the 11th. Mike, we'd love to see you live if you have anything coming up. What do you got, man?
February 4th through 6th, I will be at the Looney Bin in Wichita, Kansas. And then February 10th through 14th, I will be at the other Looney Bin, but this time in Little Rock, Arkansas.
Right.
And that's really all I got coming up at the moment.
Hey, that Wichita, make sure you go with Wiz. He's awesome. Have him take you to the barbecue spot. Actually, he works there.
Nice.
Cigar joint, if it's open up. It's walking distance from the...
A cigar spot?
Comedy condo. We're not allowed to say where the comedy condo is.
Just say it's across the street from the comedy club.
Hey. I know, but... Yeah. You can't. Meanwhile, like 8 Ubers a week pick people up there and drop them off. But anyway, yeah, it's great if it's open, cigar spot outdoors. And
I just started smoking cigars, dog.
Oh, I can't remember the name of it, but it's real great.
I like my cigars filled with marijuana.
He rolls his own cigars.
Yeah. Yeah, it was hard to learn not to. I threw up because I was accidentally inhaling. Randomly, because I'm so used to smoking weed that I was, you know, I instantly puked. I had to pretend I was like sick from something I ate. I felt like a rookie. And I was like, oh, I think I ate bad pizza and just threw up in the bathroom from the fucking cigar.
There's something I ate, the cigar.
Well, let's talk about that after. I'm excited to learn about the cigar world.
Me too, dude.
Hey, well, let's do some jokes after a second. Pause, because we don't like to edit.
Hey, welcome back to Homeschool, episode number 26 with Corey Michaelis. I'm Andrew Rivers. Not much to talk about this week since Trump deleted his Twitter. So this and all future episodes of this podcast will be dedicated to The Bachelor from now on.
All right. And just like our angry trolls on Facebook have said all along, our jokes will disappear when Trump leaves, but our erections will return.
Hell yeah, they will. We demand free and fair erections. Matt James is hot.
I measured my erection and I would like a recount.
Fucking Wang Gang, you know what I mean?
Yeah. How hard is it to count to three? Hey, boom. We are broadcasting from Seattle, Washington, because I'm not about to claim Renton like I'm trash. And, you know, I was worried about our friend Katie's drinking over the summer, but turns out she was just building her tolerance for this reality show. Every scene on The Bachelor is them drinking and fighting each other. I don't know how the producers come up with this genius material for a TV show.
Yeah, how do they get the controversies? It's crazy. Well, what do you think was going to happen, right? The Bachelor is basically Survivor if they let contestants shape, right? It's like not about love. It's a reality. Like The Apprentice didn't really let Trump run a country. It was just fake, you know, like most of his companies.
Company, yeah. You mean my Trump University degree is worthless? Well, damn it. You know, even if Katie doesn't find love on The Bachelor, after all that making out on camera, it's still a great resume builder for when she gets into porn.
Right. You know this Katie lady, Mike? Anyway.
I was like, that sounds like a budding OnlyFans career to me. You know? So that sounds like.
Well, I think, yeah, we were going to politics, right? She wouldn't be the worst reality show president we've had.
Mm. Ooh, shots fired. Joe Biden, you suck. Hey, perfect. Now that she just turned this podcast off, we can talk all the shit we want. Fuck you, Katie. Just kidding. We love you, dildo girl, and good luck on The Bachelor, and go fuck yourself.
Dildo girl, does that help you figure out who she is? All right.
There's a lot of those in my life.
He's like, everything I watch on a TV screen is.
Yeah, he's been looking at my internet search history, I guess.
The Seattle area, by the way, missed opening up to phase two, which would have allowed indoor comedy at 25% capacity. So close, just 1% increase in hospitalizations that caused it. Like, it feels like we were promised a car if we got straight A's on a report card, but we got 1B+, right? Like, sorry, you got to stay outside on your bike.
Sorry, here's a bus
pass.
Teacher
was a dick. Yeah. The teacher was a dick. It's not my fault. Mr. Michaelis. Wouldn't
that is
wouldn't
bullshit. Get, if it's 1% off, you
that's
feel
what
like
I'm,
would,
I mean, like, you know.
What is that?
Round up. I mean.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't
know. Ridiculous.
I mean, man. We would have been closed down like a week or two later anyway, but it would have been nice to have like some legal gigs for a second.
See who gets booked.
But hey, you know, I'm sure most of our fans are from the Seattle area. So if you're listening to this in Seattle, stay home, stay safe. We're almost there. Just stay home, especially if you have coronavirus. Stay home.
Stay
home. Don't go to the hospital, okay? That 1% fucked us. We got to tough this thing out. You know? Vitamin D, vitamin C. You'll have plenty of chances to catch corona at our shows once things open back up.
There you go.
Right. And also, how about this? They may be vitamin D and C. Just fly to Washington, D.C. for the inauguration, right? There you go. Plus, that's easy to do, right?
It's bad. Yeah, it might get you killed, but hey, sounds like a plan. I'll meet you there with all your other bald white guys.
It seems like the Capitol's been popping lately.
Yeah, it's like, that's the best club.
Yeah,
right. Get right in. Hey,
hey you set go, your man. Phasers to one. Gyms are already back open now under phase one. I am excited to have a healthy option for being out of breath.
No. Well, I don't
and how many people feel obligated to go to the gym now? Like, this is the most obligated you've ever
felt. It's actually pretty empty. I think the word hasn't gotten out that it's like, it was real hush hush where they're like, we're open again. But it's been pretty empty when I go.
Yeah, like all these people with New Year's resolutions and they're like, oh, I made that with the anticipation these would be closed until April. Also, is that what, don't you have other healthy options for being out of breath? Could you, have you tried sex? I mean, that's a good workout.
You ain't got to tell me, buddy. I'm usually wiped out by the time they're in my trunk. But hey, I'm just curious, what are the four categories for opening up safely?
I looked it up. I think it's ICUs under 90% occupancy, a positive rate of less than 10%. The number of available parking spaces at a Trader Joe's, Every sitcom with people wearing masks gets canceled. Quit your fucking virtual simulating and just do your stupid show.
Hey, I read that because of the pandemic, animal shelters are running out of dogs to adopt. So just a matter of time before some desperate woman finally adopts me.
Ah, rest. And I know how much you like being on a leash with a collar.
Yeah, they are running out of dogs. I got a dog during this and he's deaf. I got like the leftover.
You got like, the last one available.
I was like, what do you guys got? Yeah, anything? Like, we got this deaf dude in the back. I was like, I'll take him.
You don't even have to train him, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's awesome.
Oh, man, I thought you were about to say dead.
Deaf. Well, he will be in a few weeks.
Yeah, no, he doesn't listen that well, so.
I can teach him sign language. I know the sign language. I'm just kidding. by the way, on a related note, Andrew is stuck in phase one also by much more than 1%. It's phase one of trying to find a girlfriend. And I
Yeah, in order to advance to phase two, I just need 90% of my credit card balance paid off, 10% extra length on my penis, and a sitcom.
There you go.
We're real close.
We've been watching TV. Besides this, our good friend Tommy Jonigan, show he writes for, just came out Wednesday. There's lots of TV stuff coming out. Have you watched anything interesting, Andrew?
I meant to watch Tommy's show, but I'm lazy. But I've been watching this show actually called Manhunt. It's about the Unabomber.
Oh.
Trying to see if there are any long-term side effects to isolation. Just, you know, I know if I make it through 10 episodes without relating to the bomber, then I'm still in good health. And
how far are you in?
Six. It's getting real dicey here, but... the episode on the 96 Olympics bombing was crazy because I forgot about that story. The FBI framed the wrong guy and he had to go on 60 Minutes to clear his name like 3 months later.
Jesus.
Wow. 60 Minutes. That's such a good news program because they really sit down and explore the topic from all the angles, right?
Yeah.
Every news program today should just be called 60 Seconds. Here you go.
Yeah. And my porno. Hey.
There you go.
Speaking of 60 seconds, that's how long the Seahawks lasted in the playoffs. But it's kind of cool. The NFL broadcast one of the games on Nickelodeon last week. Like at first it was all right or whatever, but isn't that a little bit of a violent sport for a children's channel?
Hey, maybe, but we do have to train them to buy cigarettes and alcohol and learn how to be adults. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's never too young for that. But it is a confusing game, even for most drunk adults. Did they do anything special because it was on Nickelodeon?
Yeah, they actually did a pretty good job explaining it to the kids. Like the end zone was called the Slime Zone, and it had like animated graphics. So every time a player entered the Slime Zone, the TV would be covered in slime, and SpongeBob would pop out and be like, "Look, kids, this is what happens to their brain after 20 years. Yay!"
Fun game for sports. Hey, thank God there were no fans, you know? I can't imagine a kid at a Raiders game with a 300-pound shirtless man wearing a skull on his head with a Reaper sickle, you know? Hey, kids, that man wakes up early and paints a bird on his face. That's an early sign of depression.
He's a really big fan of Sesame Street, as I guess I tell him. It's the closest thing.
Halloween in January? This is a weird game.
Four downs.
It is crossing too much. I don't know.
It's all crazy, right? But sure, it was, maybe a great opportunity to teach them lessons during the game. You know, like, remember, kids, never punch in the face or you'll be ejected from the game. You got to make sure you do it when nobody is looking. Be the first, always be the first to punch. It's the second guy that gets caught.
Yep.
It was crazy. I was wondering what happens when there was a major injury in the game. They had to bring out an ambulance. Like, what do the announcers do with that? Just, looks like that man has an owie. Sing it with me, kids.
Tired.
Yeah. The head bone's not connected to the neck bone anymore.
Blue tent. What's is he going?
That's great.
No, he's about to get a lot of drugs, actually. But you should never try them. They're not good for you.
He's about to have a lot of Flintstones vitamins right now. I'm gonna pump them full of them. So
just IV full of
yeah.
Only vitamin, never real drugs, you know, even though they make you feel really, really good and allow you to continue your job.
And communicate in public with friends.
Right. They really feel like that hug your father never gave you. Don't do that.
So that's also what the Super Bowl feels like, but most of you will never get there.
Or Disney World.
Yeah. I'm impressed how they explained rules and penalties. You know, those are pretty complicated. Hey, Daddy, what's a catch? Well, it's when a defender gets 2 feet on the ground, maintains possession, and then makes a football move. And then, you know what? Can I just explain where babies come from? This is way easier.
It's difficult. Yeah. And also, like, kids must have been confused. Like, hey, why don't you give me a massage and feed me water when I'm in timeout? This seems way better.
Yeah, all these people drinking Gatorade that I could never afford. Just jugs of it, pouring it on each other. Like, can I drink that? I'm drinking Mondo over here. What is
Tyreek Hill likes pickle juice. What's wrong with you? yeah, well, anyway, hey, a week ago, a bunch of dumbasses planted pipe bombs outside the Capitol building and nobody's really talking about it anymore, so that's very exciting.
Yeah, it's kind of wild. I love that the working class, fuck your feelings, get out of the country if you don't like it crowd is literally trying to overthrow the government because a billionaire lost the election.
Mm. Suddenly, they all want unity. Like, hey, we'd like to welcome liberals to link their arms together in prayer outside the Capitol building. We're locked up, so we can't make it, but you guys go ahead.
Also, I hope you got your tickets for the Trump train because it might be filling up now that everyone is on the no-fly list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder now, how many other people are going to come dressed up as like different animals now because that one bison guy? Like now everyone feels like, bro, I got this crazy bearskin rug. I've been
dying in a banana suit. Like,
yeah. It's going to turn into something that's not, yeah, just a show off what you can wear.
I think they're going to like wear gorilla suits and mock.
Yeah, well, FBI was arresting people at airports all week. I don't know if you saw any of that footage on Twitter. It's very exciting. They found some people because they logged on to the Capitol's free Wi-Fi during the riot. Like, literally, they're in the middle of a riot. Like, I've got no bars. Yeah, just wait.
Oh, that's hilarious.
They are coming, those bars.
Those bars will be right there.
Yeah, so if someone's sitting there like, Callie, what's the Wi-Fi? And they're like,
well, 6969, what's the password? Trump 2020, MAGA, all caps.
lowercase, or I'm not getting it.
No, MAGA, all caps. It's like the poster. Didn't you?
1, 2, 3.
The thing
four.
On Parler? Yeah.
Password. Mitch McConnell. He even finally admitted that Trump committed some impeachable offenses. He's pretty slow on it, but in his defense, he is a turtle. So
I was gonna say, his brain doesn't work fast. So
neither do his hands or his blood vessels, apparently.
I know, right?
So how's that guy alive?
Many Republicans don't want the impeachment because it will only piss people off more. They're taking that position of like unity, like the other folks. Stop being divisive, everyone. Republicans are basically like, hey, don't blame us for wanting to kidnap Nancy Pelosi, right? Like, look what she was wearing.
An African scarf?
Oh.
Yeah, they apparently did a ton of zip ties, which is just so funny.
This was like, the Ben Shapiro and Mike Drucker getting into it. I don't know if you saw that thing floating around, but.
Oh no!
Ben Shapiro was trying to do everyone I know buys zip ties, and it was like not everyone you know is storming the Capitol building wearing military camouflage.
You know, what do you expect
screaming, "I can't wait to kidnap Nancy Pelosi!" He was clearly working on a remodel project at his home when he brought them to the Capitol. Fucking idiot.
Oh, God.
Well, for about an hour last week, we all thought and prayed that Trump had resigned, but it turns out a disgruntled employee just hacked into the official website and made a change to make it seem like his term was over due to COVID, but apparently not.
Yeah, same exact thing happened to me, actually. A disgruntled employee did the same thing on my website.
Really?
Made it seem like COVID ended my career, yeah. Yeah. It was me. I'm the disgruntled employee.
Yeah. Well, I would be disgruntled if you were my boss also. Why aren't you touring? Make us some money. This sucks.
I'm the CEO. I'm like a golfer whose caddy is mad at him. Because can you make a putt, please? Doing all the work.
I'm telling you what to do. You suck at this.
It's going to be a wild week, is a phrase I could have said before any week in the last 4 years.
But this week we have the inauguration and, allegedly, supposedly 100 presidential pardons to look forward to on Tuesday.
I hope he pardons the Tiger King Joe Exotic, not because I care about that guy. I just think the country needs to come together on something, and that something should be hating Carol Baskin. I think that's the only thing. Gonna get us back on track.
Well, I'm sure he'll pardon very fine people from both sides.
Yes, they're all very fine. We love you.
Hey, good
you're
luck.
Very special. Win.
You're special.
Go home.
Everybody loves you. You're worth something. That brings us to our sponsor for this week, Netflix. They don't know it, but they are sponsoring us because
they helped write all these jokes. That's why they're our sponsor.
Yeah. Hey, we welcome us, Netflix. You're gonna do a new movie a week. How about a new comedy special a week? Oh wait, you've already been doing that for the last 5 years. Not giving any of us one. Yeah.
I mean, as if the dry bar wasn't enough evidence that the people demand to see Corey Michaelis and Brad Upton and me as like a late round, fifth round pick option, Mike Mazzalotti about to be super dry bar comedy Mormon famous here pretty soon.
My shit got filmed in I did the last one before the shutdown in COVID.
Like, oh wow!
And I didn't even know if I was going to be able to do it, and then they hit me up that morning saying like they told us like they were fighting with the city to stay open that last weekend. And then they shut down right after that. But it's been almost a year, dude. March 14th, and it still didn't come out. I'm like, do they hate it? Are they not putting it out? I thought I did well. Like,
yeah. It took 8 months for mine to come out. That's how long it takes to add laughter. But
they are behind on a lot of things. We will attest to.
Okay, good. Well,
give me my money, bitch.
Hey. Keith reached out to me and was like, hey, you want to do a second one? And I was like, well, I would like to finish getting paid for the first one, and then we'll see.
I don't even have material for a second. You guys are fucking balling, dog.
I was close when he asked because they only need like 20 minutes now, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe, or I don't know. And then now in the last few months, I've gotten closer. But I don't know if that's, I don't know what's going on. Anyway. Glad to have you. Excited for you to when that comes out. Do you have a Facebook fan page, by the way?
Yeah, just at Mike Mazzalotti.
Yeah, that'll help you with that dry bar. Get some people pushed to that as much.
There you go, man. Trying as much as you can, you know. Whatever.
You're gonna get a million friend requests, and you're gonna be like, I don't want you to be my friend.
I'm like, dude, I'm just gonna have the biggest faith-based following, dog. I can't wait.
They like
it's a surprising amount of non-religious people. It's a surprising amount of like just regular people that stumble upon it.
Yeah, that's true. My buddy has the Dry Bar app on his phone, and he's like scrolling through, like, "Do you know this guy?" And I was just like, "Yeah, that's my friend." He's like freaking out. He's a non-comic dude out here, and it's just like, "Dude, I know these people. I see them all the time. I didn't know that you."
They're not as famous as you think. They're very depressed. They're even having me on their podcast next week. It's not that exciting. Yeah.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
Where are you at these days?
I'm in LA right now. Mostly here. Everything's shut down though.
Yeah.
Same as Washington. Like, yeah.
That's
the whole West Coast is in agreement that they're like, hey, we'll just work together.
Yeah. And not do it.
Apartment.
Although Portland was open for a little bit over the summer I don't know, but maybe they're still open. I have no idea.
Yeah.
They aren't, I don't think. Did you same apartment that I visited that one time?
No, I'm on Hollywood Boulevard right now in a place I can't really afford, but COVID helped us out kind of thing.
me out, bitches.
Yeah. And my girlfriend's a doctor, so that helps. You know what I'm saying? I just got a little
great.
Yeah, I know. I got lucky, guys.
Hey, you pay the rent and I'll save lives with my jokes.
Yeah, like when you come home bummed, I'll make you laugh. So let's do that, you know.
So you have to be super careful then probably to not.
Oh, yeah. I don't go near. I don't kiss her. I make her sleep in the closet. Honestly, she's been wearing the mask before COVID just because of the age.
She was in the closet before you dated her also.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. She comes home. I don't know. I guess she gets tested every day. I haven't gotten tested, but she gets tested every day. So I'm just like, as long as you're good, I'm good. That's my
okay.
Yeah.
But she's got haven't you toured at all or done any like shows or anything?
Yeah. If I'm legally supposed to be tested, then I'll say I got tested.
Sure. Yeah.
Because I don't know whether when you get on a plane.
No, I don't. I just meant like you haven't. You haven't worried about getting it really, or you
no,
just
I don't
like...
know. I wear my mask all the time anyway, right. And I just don't, you know, I was already kind of not a germaphobe, but I was always conscious of that, just like touching shit and not having people breathing in my face anyway, of like, you know, and but on the planes, it's been great. All the planes have been half empty, which is like,
yeah, it's great.
It's amazing. Like I hate people are talking about don't fly right now. It's just like, keep that out there. Don't fly right now.
Yeah. This is the best time. Security's five fucking minutes. Yeah.
Dude, for real. I go, I PSA pre-check. It's not even worth it right now. Cause the whole fucking airport is pre-checked. Like you just walk through. So
that's fine. Did you, so you've been, I mean, we're like, you know, learning all these new things, and how to do them. You open a podcast studio, which is pretty wild. That's awesome.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, you're like skilled in that kind of shit, aren't you? Yeah.
Dog, for real. I'm not. It's the funniest thing, dude. I built one in my apartment just because I thought me and my friend should have a cooler looking spot. And then we got to the point where people thought it was a studio we rented. Cause like if I turned the camera to the left, it was my kitchen. To the right was our front door. Like we just had it perfectly mapped out. And then people, after they hit us up asking to rent it, we decided, me and my buddy Nolan decided, like, if we let's go rent a studio and then, or a little office, turn it to a studio and then rent it out just enough so we could get a free podcast for us. And then it turned into literally before COVID, man, like we quit our jobs. Like we have one in LA right now. And we were like, that was the main focus. And then COVID kind of hurt. But during all this, we just got the second location in Seattle. So now it's kind of like we had time to really learn. Like now I feel like I know more, but in the beginning it was just, we didn't know how crazy this was. Like if I knew what this, even legally, dude, like the paperwork, I would have never done this shit. Like it was like an accidental, like this is working, let's keep doing it. But like Nolan's wife helps out on everything that's boring. I just tell her, like, just fill it out and tell me what to do. And thankfully that happened, but. I don't know. I'm not like, people call me all the time asking for a question. I just Google it because I don't fucking know, man. Like, I have no idea what to do. It's working, but barely. You know what I mean? Like I don't feel like an expert at all. Like it's like I'm self-taught. Like I can play the guitar. You ask me to do a G chord. I'm like, I don't know. I can do it if you show me it, but it's like that. So.
Oh, wild. Yeah. And then how do you from LA, you know, I mean, Nolan's in Seattle, I assume.
Yeah, he moved up. Yeah. Well, he's in Seattle part-time. We were just talking about doing a second one somewhere. And I came up doing comedy in Seattle and I love Seattle a lot. Like, and dude, it was so wild. This is a true story. I moved to Seattle 10 years ago, January 1st, 2011. And then January 1st, 2021, I opened the door of our studio. So 10 years to the day later that I moved there. Cause like, it was a big deal. I moved from New York.
Serendipity.
Yeah, dog. It's like a dumb movie where you wouldn't believe it. And then like I was sitting there on the first and I was like, holy shit, dude, this is 10-year, like it's so nuts, man. But I love Seattle. So we just decided like, let's give something back, I guess, in a dumb way. Like we want to hook comics up. And I just really thought that like bringing something like that there would be cool. And then Nolan was like, well, I'll go up there, help develop it. And then he can jump back and forth. And so can I. And then we just found COVID, just we found a cheap location that we thought we could try, and so far so good. We had Monica Nevy on our first, she recorded through there and it was like fucking dope. And if you guys ever want to use it, let us know. We'll hook you guys up hard. Cause we I don't know. It's the idea is like, you know, you guys get it. Like being able to do this, especially on our own, is like it. And I'm noticing so many people are even leaving TV and getting, because all these TV shows are done. And then they're hitting us up about using the studio because they're trying to keep their personal thing going, not relying on a gatekeeper or an industry or something. Cause it all doesn't, I don't know. I think it's all fake. Like we got passed at the Improv. We were working there for a while and then nothing like changed. It just feels like, oh, they just said like, it's all nothing. I think you have to wait for this gatekeeper to tell you, hey, go on tonight. And it's just still, so we just want to build our own shit. And then again, like Seattle to me was so great that I just love seeing people taking over more now. And I love helping people do their own shit. Cause that's, I mean, yeah, dude, the more I rely on other people, not other people as in comics are the shit to me, but like upper people that have power, yeah. Like they yield it too much. Even all the clubs and stuff, it's so hard to find. Like our goal is to open, we want to open a club next in Seattle. And it's just not even to make money, just to break even, have the studio pay for the space for us to do shows and not serve chicken fingers. So I'm not getting I'm not talking to some guy with a full mouth in front of me. Like it's crazy to me how much comedy isn't comedy. And I know, I don't know, I get it. I worked at a lot of clubs, but like, so our idea is to kind of bring that back as much as we can, or that feel of shit. And Seattle's such an underrated city. Like so many of the funniest comics in LA too, like Fahim Anwar, Sergio, Solomon Giorgio. I mean, Nick Thu, like all these people are down there, and they're Kelsey Cook. They're killing it. And it's like Seattle. So they always say LA, but it's like, well, they're not really LA. They're Seattle. And right. It's so many of those. And it's like, I don't know, man, Seattle needs, I just want to help add the recognition to that city.
Yeah. It needs some more attention up in the area.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Hell yeah, man. Without having to travel. I mean, that's what sort of Corona sort of made everyone real, like get on TikTok, get on all mm-hmm. these things and just put your stuff on the internet. Cause who knows, you know?
Yeah. But you guys are killing.
Waiting for some company or, you know, like whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and you can anymore. It's just like a $150 round trip, like anywhere in the country. I mean, no, like I'm living an age to go to LA mm-hmm. anytime you want if you needed to go to LA for something, I think. And
right.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't
especially
know, I
now, man. To, yeah.
I mean, that's the thing I think about missing out is like New York is sort of like a city where things just pop up with like a week and they go, hey, we're putting together this showcase. And then they'll be like, come out. And I'll be like, I mean, I got a whole thing to work around.
Yeah.
But I also do like, you know, I went out for this Tonight Show thing and then it was like, cool. Now what? And they're like, well, we don't know. And I'm like, what is anything? Are they talking about me behind my back? Are they going, well, we don't know. Like, I just have no, my manager like barely responds to emails. Like no one cares anymore. So it's just like, you know, they're waiting to take the money that you earn.
And, dude, for real. Yeah. You know, they want you to make it. And then they want to take a piece of it.
It's once you get enough attention, then we'll help you. And it's
I noticed that.
Can you help me?
We told people that because in the beginning we were trying to get all of our friends aboard and they kept telling me like, well, you show me that it's worth it. And then and I'm like, dog, I'm not, what are you like? You show me that it's worth it for you. It's so nuts that it's like, I feel like it's backwards. Like the industry is like, you show us, you can get attention. Then we'll take a giant chunk of that. And now like even all these giant podcasters, man, like you see them live and they're just the fans are showing up, and I don't know. I think podcasting is the truest form of comedy now. Because when I did the special, like not like it's a thing, like I noticed like you're so fucking edited. You're not even just like clean or not. Like I know what words I'm going to basically say. Like there's no, hey, I'm free. Like if you riff a little bit, cool. But basically we know what we're saying. On podcasts, we're riffing, we're talking, we're being real. And that to me is what these comics are. And now we're connecting with these audiences way beyond what our comedy specials were, what TV even does for people. Because they see you on TV, but now when you hear you on a podcast, that's like a real you. That's like even Anthony Jeselnik on his podcast is like, oh, dog, you don't sound anything like what you sound like on stage. And I love it. I love the podcast Jeselnik. He's like a real person and he fucks around. And like, it's, I don't know, man. I think that's like the industry, like the Bonfire, SiriusXM just got rid of most of all their shows. And they're hiring them back as podcasts now so they can fucking pay them less, dog. It's crazy. Yeah. The Bonfire's gone and now they're offering them a podcast slot on the radio. It's like, you mean a radio spot again? Dude. It's just build your own. Like, I'm all about build your shit. And yeah, dude. Like, this is great. I love this show. I've actually seen a couple episodes before. Like, I was watching Gambas and stuff. So,
Just fun. It's fun. It's a nice way. I mean, the little monologue thing, I mean, coming up, probably you know, if we get to March, we'll have done basically 5 pages of jokes a week for the entire year. And, you know, almost built entirely. I mean, I did a 25 minute special of just COVID jokes or whatever. And Corey's got a ton of new shit. So, like, you know, it just felt like, you know, we all of your excuses are gone for like, oh, I travel too much. I'm never around. Money always a thing. And then you're like, the government's paying me to stay home. Write some fucking jokes. Also, this crazy thing is happening to everybody at the same time. There's got to be some relatable content in there, you know?
And if if you can ever be like, have the best whatever joke, like, you know, hey, you can't talk about airplanes. And then like Louis writes the best airplane joke there is.
I was just going to say on his newest special. Yeah. His newest special, like 3 times he started a premise and I was like, really, Louis? And then he killed it. And I was like, oh yeah. Like, why wouldn't he? Like, so I feel you, man. Yeah. There's always the meat there. A lot of people say don't write COVID jokes, but again, it's like, we're all living through COVID right now. Like if you ignore it the whole time you're on stage, it also feels disingenuous to be like, hey, everything is this, not even like, it's so weird.
I felt I did a week in Vegas and I was trying to like, you know, do really well or whatever. So I did what I thought was my best stuff, but I did feel a sense of like, there's an elephant in the room that I first couple nights.
Hey, everyone's table is spread out and you're all wearing masks and you're all kind of going, is this a hoax? Are we allowed to be here?
Right. So by like night three, I was like, oh, I better reference that a little bit more. And it worked way better. But that actually reminds me, though, when you were working at the Underground, one of my favorite videos, I got to post this video somewhere, maybe, I don't know. But on the wall, they have all the pictures of all, you know, people who have headlined the club and things like that. And you were putting mine up. And I was like, oh, that's fun. And I was like, who am I replacing? And you were like, Louis C.K. take that one down. And I was like, well, there's a lot of problems here. I should not be replacing that.
Well, I'll say I didn't move. I was there but not working there. No. I was there but not working there when that happened.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Because I put those pictures up, by the way. I got in a lot of trouble for that by John Fox. Like that whole hallway was empty. And I remember We knew, like someone said, there was this legend of the old club. I never was at the old club. I don't know if you guys were, that's before my time.
I never went there.
So all, I guess they had the Mitch Hedberg pictures and like all these like, who was the other guy? Like Todd Cotter or some shit like that. And I was just like, oh, they have all these pictures. Like, and where are they? And they were literally like in the back annexes of the Underground, like covered in rat shit, but it was disgusting. So we cleaned them up, we hung them up, and then we printed out, like, we went through all of like the who performed at the Underground, and we just start in that list that's upstairs that tells you all those names, and we just printed out all those pictures. And bro, people used to steal money from the fucking Underground every goddamn week working the door. If I could take damn money to put it back into that club, I was gonna do it. And I told Fox that, and he got really mad at me. Cause he's like, who paid for this? And I was like, you guys did. You think I'm gonna pay for this shit? I'll do the work. And he flipped out, and now people take pictures in front of it and shit. And I don't want credit for it, but it was a big deal when like Fox and me argued about that. Like I almost got fired for putting those damn pictures up. And then when they took down Louis, I got mad about it. So I was like, yo dog, like as much as you guys get mad at Louis, like that guy's still like a beast of a comic, but I wasn't already a manager then. But then Corey went up and I was like, all right, I don't mind. I like Corey.
Well, it's funny that like, cause that's the worst thing a Comedy Underground employee has done. Put up pictures, really inexpensive pictures. How dare you?
For real, dude.
I won't speak about what other people have done, but it's well, the Underground. Yeah. I mean, Underground's great when it's, you know, I'm about to release the video of my album on my YouTube because I was like, why not do that? It's filmed at the Underground and
very cool.
Secretly I didn't tell him I was doing it because I heard he charges people or tries to take money or something. It without telling him, and there you go.
Good for you, man. Don't worry, he's not tech savvy. He'll never see this or hear this.
I don't think he will.
Go to the website. That shit's fucking GeoCities basically. geocities.com/comedyunderground.
Yeah.
He also might still be like annoyed. What does he run anymore? But he might be annoyed. Yeah.
That's like, your comedy club that probably is bankrupt already. Like,
yeah.
I do want him to do the competition at my venue, like we've done every year the last 6 years, but that, whatever, if that doesn't happen, I'll be fine. He was trying to co-produce shows with me and Everett, and it was like fine, you know, but I was putting in a lot of work to make like $150 in the end, because it's, you know, he thought like basically a lineup that I would have at my Emery's show every month on a Sunday was what he was trying to sell at a theater. And they weren't like contributing to selling tickets. I was like, well, you're trying to charge $30 for what I charge $10 for. It's going to work. And so we parted ways on that. And he was initially mad at me.
You have a lot of amicable separations there, Corey.
I do. My divorce.
We're still friends, but I'm not letting you control my money anymore.
Exactly. Same. That's the same conversation with every. Yeah.
If you have a podcast by yourself, it's called "We're Still Friends." Just, hey, we're still friends, but this is what happened. All right.
But I only want to talk to you on Zoom where there's a mute button.
Well, that's cool. Yeah. And you did your dry bar.
Were you nervous to be super clean? Did they give you like a whole lecture beforehand?
So I didn't get any lecture, all right, listen to this. I almost didn't get it because they offered me the date. And so I don't know, when I get booked, I don't want to ever call the person and say, I can't do the show. So I had a food spot at the Madhouse Comedy in San Diego. So I wrote back the guy saying, hey, I'm booked that night. Can I do a different weekend? He didn't write me back. So a week goes by and I tell Billy that, and Billy flips out on me. He's like, you fucking said no for a food spot. And I got anxiety. I jumped on my phone. My hands were shaking. I was texting him back. Yeah. Like, I can do it. I can do it. I'm so sorry. And then he instantly texts me back. Like, okay, you got the date. But like, I wrote the people for the food spot and they were like, yeah, dude, go record the special. I'll give you that spot again. But I was I didn't want to be a dick and say no. And I'm glad I did, because they shut down that weekend and I went on the road for like 2 months before that just by chance. And then it was like 3 weeks away from recording from when I got told. And I just started working clean. And my jokes are all clean. I just swear. So that's what I was nervous about. Like, I don't have any jokes that I'm like, oh, this is too dirty. But like, I swear here, I swear there. But I did realize after the first set, my sister flew out to see me. Shut up. After the first set,
he can't hear you.
Yeah, I know, right? But I guess I said, oh my God, a bunch. That was the one thing I heard that they were like, not that happy. And then the late set, I just really thought about that. But I wasn't really too nervous. I guess I practiced so much not swearing and just going slow. And like, I don't know. It was really honestly like a weird blur, dog. Like from the second it started, I mean, you guys did it. And I'm still like, I feel so new at all this shit too. So it was so, and COVID was going on. So it was different because they were like, they kept telling me, sorry, it's a little different. Usually like the whole balcony up top was empty. My sister was there alone. Well, then they were like, this is usually like this. And then like everyone had a set. So I didn't know how the real way was, but the way I got like, so, but it was dope. Man.
I always think that's funny when people, that always used to happen when I went to summer camps in high school. Like last week, the weather was amazing. And last month they had this really funny guy and he was the chart. And you're like, I didn't know any of it. You don't have to tell me.
I feel like I'm the king of last week. We were sold out.
It was
like,
sold out.
You should have been here last week. It was sold out. I'm like, well, there's four people here tonight. So
I was.
Thanks.
So
apparently it wasn't me.
That's good. And the oh my God. So Karen Rontowski, she's a cool gal and she's on one of their like, hey, here's a video of a thing, like, because she did a really good nude, like, not like a dick pic joke, basically, but she couched it so well and cleverly, that it, like, killed. But she also did the same thing in her first set. She kept saying, oh my God. And so then, like, in between sets, she wrote a bit or a joke about it. And I can't remember what it was, but it, same thing, elephant in the room, it killed because she's like, I don't mean it like that. Like, I don't believe in God. Or, I don't know.
Dude, she was my neighbor when I moved to LA. I didn't even know her. And she lived across the hallway and I'd see her every day. And then one day she saw me with the podcast studio when we were building it in my living room. Like, and then she's like, oh, that's cute. You guys do a podcast? I was like, yeah, yeah, we do whatever. And then she said something about hers. So I started following her. And then when I did Dry Bar, I saw her thing and I texted her. I was like, yeah, I didn't even tell you were a comic. And she's like, oh, yeah, I did, yeah. So yeah, dude, I lived across from her for a year and a half. I had no idea she was a comic. And like, I mean, open my front door, there's her front door. Like,
oh, wow.
Hilarious. Yeah.
She's also a ghost hunter or something like
that. Yeah, that's what I thought. Everything I read of her is just like paranormal Karen is her. So I thought it was all that stuff. And I see she does a special and it blew my mind.
She just asked to see the ghost manager. all right. And you know who we're talking about? Ron Towski?
No idea, but, you know.
It's great.
Blast. But I'm here, bro.
Like ghost Karen joke. That's funny.
So you're happy with it anyway. You're happy. You've seen the result. You've watched it.
No, I haven't seen anything. Bro. I log on every day to Drybar just to see if my clip is up or anything. And the guy I recorded with that night, two of them out of the four already put them up. So it's like, it should be any day. Like I'm waiting for that drop. And I messaged them and asked about it. Didn't get a message back. Messaged them and asked if I could name it. Didn't get a message back. I was like, I got a cool name for it. You guys, can we use this? And then
I thought you were, what do you want to?
I wanted to name it Spanish because it's all about the whole beginning is about how I'm Spanish, but like Spanish with like a dad and the Blackish is the whole thing, whatever-ish. But I wanted to name it that, and I have no idea. They're probably gonna just take a joke of mine that I have no idea about because that's how I noticed they take a line that they feel like is you, and that's it. That's who you are now.
What do they do for my gun enthusiasts aren't funny? And I'm like, that is not even the premise of a joke. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I saw that. That's just hilarious. Yeah.
Whatever.
But yeah, that's cool. See, I God bless him. Great with it.
God bless him. Don't say that.
Yeah.
Gesundheit. Seattle's had a bunch of guys on there.
Upton, Drew Barth.
Yeah,
they were doing great.
Lossie killed it. And then went into the woods and hiding. Yeah. They just he's a character, man. He just got out. He was like, you know what?
I'm out the game.
All this.
Oh, he really?
I haven't seen him. Yeah.
I don't know.
Dude, the hand tattoo does it. That's a fuck society, dude. You have a hand tattoo. He's not even a tatted up guy. I saw that and I was like, you are the most ballsy guy. I got gauged ears and hand tattoo is so ballsy, dude. Like, I wanted a hand tattoo. I don't have the balls for that, Jay. So good shit, Scott.
Well, you obviously haven't seen his balls. They are tatted up also.
Yeah. They're small but tatted.
So you're going to have this out, you know, this material out. Is that, have you been utilizing this time to write a bunch or do you feel like, what do you,
dude,
you got anything you're working on that you're like, oh, this is gold?
I know it's funny. I'm
gonna
really
just be touring with the same act for 10 years and
yeah, I know.
Live
I was
off
really looking
royalties.
Forward to doing that. I was looking forward to doing the I was gonna say a name, I don't want to just drop any
the Corey Michaelis. He's just he knows who he is.
But I don't know, man. It's hard because like I write I'm terrible at writing a joke. I hate the cop out of it, but I write on stage, like I'll have an idea. And I need to see if they laugh, it's funny. If they don't, it's a waste of time. And I've written out so many things I think are funny and put a beginning and a middle and an end. And 2 minutes in, not even, I'm dying on stage. I just bail and start trying to make whatever I just said funny. And that's so I have a couple open mics. I go to this Holocaust memorial at the park, at this dog park, dude. And we go to stand up outside and like, I do that, but it's not, you know, but I guess I was writing all this shit about my girlfriend now. And dude, this is no joke. We almost broke up. And I told her, I was like, I need this 15 minutes. And it's all about us getting married and staying together and having kids. So like, we got to fix this.
That's what Corey said about the kid. He was like, don't abort it. I need this material. I need it. Keep it around.
Yeah.
Something in my life to change. You're like, you either stay with me or find me a new girlfriend.
A new Asian doctor girlfriend.
Oh, it's very specific to her.
Oh, bro, I have a lot of Asian doctor jokes, dude. My last 7 minutes in the special is all about her. And I told her, you leave me. By the way, that sucks because no girls talk to me after shows. And I'm not saying I want them to, but I want them to. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't care. Like, and now
you still want the attempt, even if they know that you want them to be like, I could get him to trade teams.
Yes, yes. Yeah. I want them to come at me because I'll play some defense. You know what I'm saying? I won't play offense anymore. I told my girl. But like, you know, I'd like to play defense sometimes, you know?
It'd be nice to lead someone along instead of being the one to get led along. I get
Thank
what you're saying.
You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. Man.
You want to be the Bruce Bowen of that. Yeah, that's a post show.
Yeah.
Will you, but like, so do you have like one that you were like, ah, this did work at this Holocaust Memorial thing. This is going to be great when I can actually.
Well, I have a joke that I wrote on the road with Gabe. I opened for Rutledge earlier this year. I just wrote it like I was in Oklahoma and it did really, I said it to him. He laughed and I was like, it's like the whole, I don't know, man. I hate just, it's like, I hate having a girlfriend, but I obviously I like it because I'm with her for 2.5 years and I hate it. So it's like a lot. It's one of those rough sells. I don't know if I just want, I could tell you it's such a dumb.
Do the bit. Yeah.
It's a, so it's, a, but it's really based on what the crowd says. So I talk about how my mom hits me and then I say something about like it hurt. And I go, like, ladies, you guys have a higher pain tolerance than men, right? And then they all get excited, you know, like, yeah. And I was like, and men hit harder than women. So the math checks out. And it either does. It did great, like 90%. And the 10% it didn't, I had a rebound line of like, hey, sir, like, because it got quiet. And then I pretended to be one of the guys, like, hey, man, we're here to forget that night, move along. And then that got me a lot. So I kind of found the balance, but it was like, I don't want to not do, like, I don't know. I just thought that was funny. I was so, and then I also said, don't hit girls, don't hit me. I hit hard. I don't know. So I said something else about self-deprecating bullshit. Cause sure. Then some girl came up to me after the show and goes, when guys hit me, just so you know, I hit back. And I was like, lady, it's not about that. Like, this is a dumb joke. But again,
like you're overthinking it.
Yeah. Well, she was hitting on you. I think that you got one girl to come up after the show. She just threatened to.
Yeah. But again, like it's, you. But I was nervous about that shit. Cause it's like, you know, I don't know, man, like, especially in Seattle. I moved to Seattle from New York. Where, I mean, bro, I was speaking so brashly coming from upstate New York and I got the Seattle filter, which I actually liked because they helped me like, all right, don't just like think about what you're saying and why you're saying it when you're writing a joke. Like if you're a comic in Seattle, like they don't let you get by, like you need to be good. Even if you're dirty, you have to be fun, like well-written dirty. And I was like learning that, but I even going clean shit, like to me, that's not a dirty joke, but that's so not part of my set. Like when I do podcasts, I'll say whatever because I'm talking to my friends, I'm making them laugh. When I'm on stage, I like being clean because I don't like when people get upset. Like it, like I love Patrice O'Neill, he's my favorite comic, but when he says half the crowd has to be mortified, I hate that. Like if people get mortified, I'm such a pussy. I'm like, no, like me, like say that, I'll say it different. Like, so even those jokes, I get nervous to even try if I think it's funny because it's like, I don't want you guys to not like me. And it's not even, it's just, I want you, it's such a weird, like I just want you guys to have a good time. And it's so annoying where, you do a set, you do all the jokes, someone gets upset. You're like, do you guys know I flew out here to make you fuckers laugh? I want you to have a good time. Like, you think I want you to
My self-worth me? Depends on this. I don't want you to hate me. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So I get nervous telling those jokes, but then I feel like a non-comic sometimes. So like, all right, Gabe laughed, but even he was like, you can tell it, but they might not like it. And then when they didn't, I kind of, but again, it's like, fuck, bro. Like, can we not try this? But That's why I do like the podcasting. I feel like people get to know you more. They give you more of a leeway because they kind of know who you are. Like I never met Bill Burr. I know so much about him from listening to his podcast. You know what I mean? So like if he says some shit, I'm like, well, I know who you are. So that wasn't really meant like that. So I don't know, man. But I'm also just such a please like me kind of a person, which is not good. It's not the best.
That joke reminds me. It's like it's kind of a Chad Daniels type joke of like trying to be a little bit edgy, but I've watched his progression over the years and now he's become like super popular and famous, especially on like a lot online and Pandora, but like he went from like just berating audiences for not enjoying a dark joke to just writing jokes for the scenario of them not liking the joke.
And
he also, he's always been great, but I feel like, and I haven't really talked to him about this, he also became better at making some of them a little more palatable.
Defending so like, his point even. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and like, so, yeah. You know, you've already worked on making that palatable and then having a saver line that's like responding to their reaction, that kind of thing. But But yeah, I watched him the whole weekend work on a joke that was essentially about a kid with autism. And it bombed all five shows hard. And it was brand new. And then it became on his album Footprints on the Moon, like a 9-minute bit.
Oh, wow.
Murdered, and is one of the more popular bits.
Balls to do that, man.
And it was like, there's lots of changes he made, but one of the big ones was he just stopped saying autism. He doesn't use that word in the bit at all. On the spectrum, and then he does a joke about on the spectrum. Like, I thought he was on acid, which doesn't make sense, or something like that.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
And so it's like, oh man, he just, same story.
Dude, Rutledge.
The story.
Yeah, buddy. He did that for me. I had a really, my closer is a real story about my mom. Like, I fingered a girl at a movie theater. Like, she grabbed my hand, like she did whatever. And then my mom, it's a callback. My mom used to smell my hand to see if I smoked cigarettes. And one day I came home from the movies, my mom asked to smell my hand. And then like, I told, and it's like the joke was 50-50. Like, it would crush or it wouldn't, but I was always riffing it. Like it's the same thing. Like, I know how to get to the place I'm going. I'm just gonna take a different way every time.
So, how did it do on your drive arm?
I didn't do it on the drive. That's the one thing I did not do on the. Literally, that's the only joke of mine.
Can't imagine why that joke didn't make the cut there.
Yeah, but even
why haven't they released your special? No.
I know, right? But Gabe helped me clean it up, because in the beginning he's like, "Don't say fingering. Say your mom's." He's like, "Stop saying fingers. Say hand." And then it's like these weird things about like he's like, and I told like it's
fingers is a little more
yes. And then when I started realizing that, then I learned how to tell the joke to where the point where I'm like going through these minefields of I could say this and you don't get mad, and I can say this and you don't get mad. And then I said it to the point where it's like, oh my God, it's done. But it was a lot. Gabe helped me so much because he liked the joke, but he's like, it's just dirty and I can't, it could not be because there's not, I don't say anything dirty other than like,
yeah.
So, but it's great. I love that, man. But I don't have the ball. Like, so I give comics credit for sitting in the pocket because, dude, I am like, the second it gets quiet, I'm just like dancing. Like, please make a noise, bro. Like, I am not there.
I feel that. Yeah. I relate a lot to that. Yeah. Whew.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then a podcast, you don't get to hear their response.
So I can say whatever and I don't give a shit. I just play to the room I got. So when it's me and my friends, we say the craziest dumb shit. And again, I hope people, I say, dude, my podcast is crazy. And I don't, when I listen back sometimes, I'm like, dude, people are gonna get so mad, but you can tell we're just fucking around. But it's just, to me, like, I'm always just playing for who I'm looking at. And that's why podcasts are also weird. It's like, if I knew how mortified people heard me sometimes, I probably would never do the pod. Yeah, I mean, like, if I saw, oh dude, yeah, and I don't, but it's weird. I just have no spine, basically. I'm leaning on this chair because I have no spine. So that's it.
That's great. That's fun. What else? What else going on? You've binged anything during the?
Oh, dude, I just watched that Night Stalker thing.
Shows or what's that?
That Night Stalker. You guys watched that at all? It just came
I
out,
started like, it, but it was a little. It was about the murders in LA, right?
Yes.
I heard it was amazing, but I couldn't really get into it. It was like they kept doing a background story on the police officer. And, oh, I lost my mom when I was six. And I was like, can we just get on with this like filler?
I said the same shit. My girlfriend got mad at me. I was like, what does cop have to do? I don't give a fuck about where he grew up. And at the end, bro, they end it with the cop. I go to her as he started talking. I was like, they're going to end. They started with him talking. They're going to end with him talking. But I feel you. It was kind of like, it was a little corny, but it was so good because I didn't know how the guy got caught. Because I always just realized, he got caught. He was running away. Like someone basically said it was him. One of his friends ratted him out. And then his post was up everywhere. So this guy gets into town in LA. He goes to the convenience store and there's a newspaper with his picture on it saying Richard Ramirez, this is the guy. So he starts running around. He crosses the freeway. Like, dude, he goes through a small town in LA and they jump him. Cause he tries to like hijack a car. And then the citizens held him until the cops came with like metal poles and shit and beat him up. And like, that's how he got caught. It's like a citizen's arrest stops the Night Stalker. It's crazy.
Oh, real quick for our listeners, spoiler alert. Okay. Keep going.
Oh, there you go. but no, it was just crazy.
But yeah. It gets interesting is what you're saying, hopefully.
Yeah, it gets cool. It gets really, you forget.
Because I was doing that manhunt thing, which is similar. And sort of recreation of it and telling the story over and over again. And Because yeah. I forgot all about that shit when I was like 5 years old. And
dude, True Life is so much better than anything you can write. Like even that evil genius, the guy with that collar, that was a bomb that went off.
Love that.
I'm into that stuff.
If you wrote that in a movie, we would be like, that would never happen. That's like that's Saw. That's whatever. Like, nah, this is real life. This happened. Like, fuck, man. When you're writing shit, it's like you can think of anything because real life is probably crazier than any of that shit.
Yeah, I could never write this. I love. Well, and that's so I teach a comedy class, and that's the one. Actually, that's one of the harder things to help folks with is to like, because they want to be like, I got such a crazy life, and they're always be like, that's true, and I'm like, that's great.
Yeah,
super unrelatable because it's so specific to you.
Yeah,
so let's really tighten that up. And what's the relatable part? Make that your premise. This is probably going to be a 30-second joke. And they're like, what? It's a 7-minute story. Then I tell it apart.
Yeah. Like, dude, I'm going to be on This Is Not Happening. I got this.
Yeah.
Right. Totally.
Yeah, people really, I love it. Because I think I was the same way. You need to have such fake expectations for what it is. Because if I knew what real comedy was even now, I would have never gone on stage. Like, it was so stupid for me to think, like, this is hilarious. I've never said this before. But you need that false confidence. But even like someone called me about the podcast studio saying like, hey, we want to start a podcast. And this lady was being dead ass. And she said, how long do you think until we could sell it to Spotify? And she meant it. And I just was like, oh, honey, this is not this. Do it because you love it. Like, what do you like? Rogan's the only guy that's ever done that. And even it's like, it's
well,
so
I'll tell
crazy.
You, it is not episode 26. So just use that as a ruler. I mean, we're creating the best podcast ever, and they haven't no emails yet. But you know, it's pandemic, yet. So I'm sure they're behind.
Yeah, they're like dry bar. They're falling behind.
God, that's another thing I need.
And
my dry bar checks are sort of running thin, so I might hit them up and go, hey, let's just film another one and get some.
You guys are gangster, bro. That's fucking so dope. I literally, I'm nervous when mine comes out because I'm like, I don't have anything other than the fingering store. I got nothing.
Yeah, man. Like, I mean, you just gotta, you know, it's the dumb. The Artist's Way book has said, don't be afraid of a blank page.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, you should see this thing before we edit it down. It's, like, full of garbage. And it's like, I'm deleting chunks and going, like, I can't even, I'm embarrassed to tell this stuff. But, you know, some of the jokes stick around. And, I mean, you know, that my special is almost, like, coming up on 100,000 views. And
yeah, man.
And I have a tiny channel, so it just feels like if you put stuff out,
that's
why I was telling Corey, like, he's got all these subscribers and he like doesn't even use his YouTube channel, and I was like, just start putting shit out there,
fucking Corey, dude,
fucking Corey. But he's gonna put out his thing, and I'll probably steal it and put it on my channel,
and then. And then, I mean, I was, you know, because I have Andrew as my ruler, you know, so I'm like, I haven't written anything new. And then I was like, wait a second, I got 20 plus new minutes.
The hard part is working it in,
Because
you don't get to get
really
to an open mic.
Because no mics, no real shows. I've been doing a lot of corporate virtual shows, and they need to be squeaky clean. So I'm like, and I'm trying to earn the $1,000, so I'm not
ruin the show,
you know. But every once in a while I get, like last night I got an opportunity, it was clean also, but it was a show for 240 people virtually, which is crazy. I gotta pick this guy's brain.
Oh yeah, dude.
But I was like, ooh, work in this, work in that. And
you guys write a lot for this too, like, I mean, the monologues every week, that's a lot. That's like a writing exercise within itself, even if you don't use those jokes later.
Some of them stick, like he was saying, even because they're like, even if they're written for that specific event that week, you can tweak it to make it work for longer. You can, you know.
Yeah, I ended up doing like I just tested it on some online show, but you know, then it turns into like 2 minutes on Queen's Gambit, and
that's dope.
Even as I was writing the NFL on Nickelodeon thing, I was like, some of this stuff might be funny to tell.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Like, some of it might just be, you'd have to shorten it and like see what actually works. But like, if you take the best of every week, you know, turn it into something. The hardest part is like, you know, new material you need to bomb with, and you need to know this one doesn't work. And that, you know, you just have, there's no substitute for a crowd of people. So you like, you can get online and you can go, okay, it seems good. And you can kind of like, after 11 years, it's like, I'm not saying I know every time that a joke is going to work, but I'm like, my hit rate is pretty good at this point to being like,
yeah,
all right, this one should work. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then it's just a matter of tweaking a word or whatever.
Yeah. No, you're right. The working is, to me, the hardest thing is like, you have a set that, you know, every transition brings you to this, that brings you, you throw a new part in. And then when you're done with it, you're like, shit, where was I go? Like, what?
Yeah.
Get me back.
But I mean, even Gabe as the example of like, that guy has had several hours that are monster.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're just like, how hard to give that up to, like, especially for a guy like us, you know, Gabe included, who's still trying to prove his name, you know, it's like, every time you get a gig, you're like, I hope I do well enough to even come back. And you're like, now I'm going to try 20 minutes of new shit. You know, even Adam Norwest, who's, you know, a buddy of ours, is like, you know, before my weekend where I filmed my special, he's like texting me like, hey man, just please kill. Like, and I'm like, the jokes work. Just bear with me.
Yeah. Well, that's nuts, man. I think of that too when Gabe, because he does have so many hours. Like, I tell my friends his jokes and they'll go see him live and he doesn't do them. Like, oh, you have no idea how many jokes he has that, like, I could tell you half hour of his jokes you won't hear him say live. And it's just like, if I told him, if he ever did a Netflix, I'm like, bro, you better do best of, Gabe. You could do, dog.
Well, I think,
like,
he did that with his Dry Bar, basically, right?
Oh, okay. Cool. Because that's
bits from his Dry Bar. I haven't watched the whole thing, I don't think. But I mean, yeah, he's just, and like, so he's great. Gabe Rutledge, if you guys haven't, I guess we should have him. We had him on the live version, but I guess we should have him on the this version. And
I suppose he's earned it.
Yeah. But like, I think the trick might be, and maybe I'm way off on this, but I mean, there's not many clubs that I have where I can, like, my headline spot secure no matter what I do. I think the trick for me might be in the next 6, 7, 8 months, I don't know, offering like, hey, I'll come feature. And if you agree to not let it affect my time.
Yeah. Right? You just do headline. Brand new. Yeah.
And I'm happy to do it. And you know, not like a douche, but just be like, hey, you know, be a good, pretty good week, you know, me featuring, a great headliner, you know, this Stir Crazy, Dwayne Perkins is amazing. I'm going to do all I do. I know
that's
the room, I'm comfortable in the room. I don't think I could do, I mean, if I bombed, they might not have me back to headline, but they'll have me back to feet, whatever. And
I know you, man. It's just a lot of chances, man. You're right. Like the second, like, you're joking around about doing the same act for 10 years. Like, I get, I mean,
I totally understand it. When you feel bulletproof, when you're like, like, you know, just like, oh, I just wake up and go on stage and didn't even think about it. And then I'm just talking and killing. And you're like, and now I'm like studying my notes and being like, okay, don't forget that. I'm like, I want to like get a music stand or like a fucking implant or something, you know?
Yeah, right.
Online gigs are great because you get a Word document. You just like fucking... I'll just read it off here. Yeah.
Strippers aren't trying their new moves on the weekends.
They got to go to a Holocaust museum.
Great callback. Well, Mike, it was phenomenal having you. Where can people find you on the internet?
And what's your podcast called?
Oh, yeah. It's called a Best Champions Podcast. It's a podcast about everything with friends who know nothing. I try to get on like a couple friends every week and we go over news stories.
Thanks for the invite. All right.
We just go over, like, I try not to do the news story thing. We just tell stories and we try to be funny. No one takes anything too seriously. We just want to get a laugh. I would check out Best Champions Podcast. You know,
awesome. And what's your handle?
Handle
at Mike Mazzalotti. You guys can find me there. Mazzalotti or just whatever. But then Third Wheel Podcast Studio. We have an LA and Seattle location. And it's just a fun place. And I really enjoy being a part of that whole thing. So
we'll do a live version there.
Yeah.
Like we did at the old studio.
Hell yeah, dude.
Is there room for in the future, like people to come into that, like sit and watch a live podcast, or is it not quite that big?
Yeah, the one in Seattle, we can have like five people, other than there's four people in the room with the engineer, then about five. But we actually, we built it last week. We finally got it finished this week. And our landlord hit us up saying that they went out of business and we need to move our location by January 25th.
What?
Yeah. So we're getting a bunch of money back, which is good. But now we just got, I'll be back in Seattle next week going, building a new location. Not sure where yet, but wow, it'll be bigger. It'll be doper. Cause now we know, like, I mean, COVID prices dropped everything even cheaper than what we paid. So yeah, it's just,
well, my roommate hasn't paid rent in like 6 months. So yeah, I'll kick him out and you guys just take over his bedroom if you want.
There you go. Make it sounds happen. Good, man.
At Mike Mazzalotti on all the things. Andrew is
at Andrew J. Rivers. Go and check out that YouTube special. Leave a comment, thumbs up for the algorithm. Gonna hit 100K this week. We're gonna will it into existence on my vision board.
That's right. Also on his vision board is let's see what's behind your Rainier beer and Sounders stuff. And a Rainier beer, Rainier's
pineapple.
When I was substitute teaching, I didn't think much of it, but I wore a Tacoma Rainier's hat because, like, baseball hat while I was substitute.
It's the mountain. Come on. It's the mountain.
And a kid was like, oh, my dad drinks that. And I was like, all right, well, never mind.
Never mind.
That's pretty fun.
I'm at Corey Michaelis Comedy on all of the things. Thank you guys so much. Check out the Patreon for the video. Mike is very handsome and I'm bald and Andrew looks cute with his beautiful hair this week. And we will see you next week. You'll see us. Bye.
Later.
No haircut since March.